Hold on.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Blog Talk Radio. We're glad to have you with us today from around the world and right around the corner. It's always a good thing to have you this year on this. And I'm telling you, I do have permission to Zoom. Isn't that something? 2 days in a row. Well, whether or not you think I have permission to platform, huh? Let's try this again. Isn't that something? Well, welcome. We're glad to have you with us today. Thank God for the technology that we have and its effectiveness to work and make this process happen for you and I right here. Now, sometimes it's all smooth and just other times. Okay. Slow down. Slow down. I'm not telling you to slow down. I'm telling me. Oh. I need you to hurry up. Everybody pray for Sister Lee. Oh, goodness sakes alive. It's okay. It's just technology. I decided a while back that the one thing I'm not ever going to do is be offended and carrying offense because of technology. Jesus said in the last days, many people will be offended. And that will not be me, especially when it comes to the fact that it's just nothing more than just technology. Just like that, I went from you're not allowed to stream to now we're allowed to stream. All right, here we go. Those of you on Blog Talk Radio around the world, I hope we encourage you every time we come here to just fight the fight and learn the technology no matter what. Got to. There he is. Now he's rolling. Somebody post we're live on YouTube, put it over there on Messenger. Thank you, Sister Leanne. You're a wonderful helper. Do you know that?
I know. How come you're not helping me when I'm on?
Okay, this was all designed to just move really smoothly. Here we go. We're almost at that smooth point. Got a few of those rollers out, you know, like they use on the asphalt, going over the stuff. There we go. Welcome, everybody. Today, we're going to talk about walking with God like the early church. This is going to be a good lesson. We've been studying. We studied Zacchaeus. We studied Cornelius. We studied Peter, just a little bit, just 1 hour apiece. And there's so much more to learn from all those people's lives. You might say, well, Pastor, how in the world would you study Peter? Get your Bible app. Search the word Peter. Read all the verses about Peter. You don't even have to go read somebody else's book. Just read all the verses that talk about Peter and then the verses around them. And you'll have a good understanding about Peter and who he is. Because if you just open up the Bible and just believe it. I've been talking to God about the Wilkins Radio. And we're about to go live on that Wilkins Radio. We're about to do this thing. And got some money in the bank and we're asking for people to be a partner with us and partner on some days for it. But I keep saying, Lord, what do I call this program? And he said, have you read your Bible lately?
That's a good title.
There's a lot of people that have a Bible.
I don't think.
Say again?
I love that title.
I do too.
I do too.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of people that have a Bible.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that believe in God. But have you actually opened the book up and read the words on the page? I had God say it to me the other day. He's like, you're in the truck. You open up your apps and have my word written out. Open up the book and actually read it from the book. And So I said, yes, sir, and did it. Oh, that's what it is. Love, you didn't sign in as me. You signed in as yourself.
It wouldn't let me. It wouldn't let me. I think you have to make it so I can sign in as me.
Isn't that something? That's all right. Aren't you guys glad Sister Leanne's with us today?
I am.
So let's give a couple of announcements because I'm already 7 minutes into this. No, I'm 10 minutes into my 1 hour of faith. We have this program God's instructed us to do called Wilkins Radio in Kansas City, Missouri. And to the mind, you might say, well, why are we going to do that? Well, because he gave us an assignment, and when you're willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. So we're going to go do it. We're going to reach souls there. Who knows what's there, who's there, and who we're going to reach. It doesn't matter. It's his will, not ours. We don't have an agenda. Our agenda is his agenda. And so I encourage you. You might say, Pastor, how can I get involved? Well, it's going to cost $29 a program to be on that radio station. So I encourage you every month to sponsor a program. How cool would that be? You sponsor a program, and every person that reaches that receives the gospel that day, all those souls are added into your account. When you sow into the kingdom, God says when you give, it'll be given back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He said that when you sow into the kingdom, he has a hundredfold return for you. People miss this. They're like, here you go talking about this sowing and money thing. What you got to see is this. God's kingdom is built on God's people hearing his voice, doing his will, reaching the world. As you reach out to help the world find God, we're going to see it right this morning in this lesson. Reach out to help the world find God. God says, oh, they're serious about my work. And he begins to bring manifold blessings into your life. Well, to sponsor a program that's going to reach a city of over 2 million people to hear this message for $29, you just invested $29 into God's kingdom, and God doesn't give you an 8% return on your investment. God says, I'll give you back a hundredfold return. That's not 8% or 100%. That's a hundredfold return. And eternal life, and he who reaps receives wages. There's a whole lot of people like, man, them preachers always asking for money. No, those preachers are always asking for your partnership to help them get the ministry done. Now, there's some charlatans. Don't worry about them. God will lead you away from them. God wants you. God, listen to this. God wants his kids to fund his kingdom. And he wants to put his money into your hands to get it done. You got to sow a seed. You got to do some work. David and his mighty men supplied $1 billion to build the temple in today's money.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, Pastor, you can't just say a term like that. No, go add it up. It's right in the Old Testament. Add up everything that David and his mighty men gave to the kingdom. To build that temple. Add up what it is. And when you're done adding it up, in today's terminology, it's $1 billion, and God's the one who did it, and God blessed it. And when they got done building it, God's presence filled that temple so strong the priest couldn't even get in the door. See, the church has said if one rich guy would just come and pay all our bills. Well, that's not what God wants. God wants all of his kids to be so blessed that all of us have an abundance.
Amen.
And we're going to see that in the book of Acts and the book of Corinthians and the book of Galatians and John chapter 4. That's our lesson for today. So, to Wilkins Radio, I encourage you to say, Pastor, I'm going to sponsor. Send $29 in. But to you, that might be huge. But to some of you, $29 is nothing. I was looking this morning. We were paying our tithe and paying the tithe for the ministry and sowing our seed this morning when Dr. Barclay's ministry was on. And it's like, wait a minute. There's a partnership program I'm not a part of right there. I laid some money down right on the spot. Why? Because I'm going to be a partner with everything my pastor's got going. Why? I want to see him go and preach this gospel around the world, wherever God sends it. You and I, it's right here. We don't even have a building we have to pay for. I mean,
yes.
We love Matt. Yes. We love Matt, but we have not had to call Matt one time and say, Matt, can you come work on the air conditioning real quick?
But we will.
And probably here, the heater more than the air conditioner. Although, I don't know. It gets really cold in the winter and really hot in the summer.
Seems to be the land of extremes. It's extremely hot.
Woo!
And extremely cold in the winter.
There we go. All right. Hopefully that was helpful. You can find a way to sow like that. Every time you sow, we speak the word of God of faith over you and your life and your family. And we don't want your money for us to spend. We want to preach the gospel with it. And that's what you help us do, is preach the gospel around this world. 48 different nations of the world. We're almost in 50 nations of the world. Isn't that just amazingly awesome? It's time to pray. I'm just going. I'm so excited about where we're at and what God's doing, and I'm just going. So, let's do this. Let's share the screen, because that's a good thing to do. And there it is. Stop the video. And now, if you will, rise together with me, and we'll make our Pledge of Allegiance. Today is 9/11, and we're remembering the Twin Towers, how they were taken out by the terrorists, and 3,000 people lost their lives. We were attacked on our own land. And I want you to notice something. The picture that you can see on there, on the left, is of a soldier who's kneeling. You can see a folded flag there off to the right. There's an angel above him. And since I became connected with the military, I have not ceased praying for the families of the fallen since I began to meet them. The picture frame on the right side of the folded flag, that's from Operation Resolute Support. That was 101st Airborne Mission. And that flag was flown from that helicopter in honor of me for everything I've done to him. And a man came back and presented that to me at one of our Patriot Guard missions. And so the folded flag that's on the little stand is in honor of Kenneth B. Welch, who was killed in the bombing of the embassy in Lebanon in 1984, and his dear brother, Michael, which is one of my greatest friends in this world, asked me to be the caretaker of that flag. That's his folded flag on his casket. It was on his brother's casket. And the day that Mike crosses over to the other side, we will place it on his and then present it to his grandson, and honor of his faithful service to our nation. Brother Mike is one of the most faithful patriots you'll ever meet. And thank you, brother, for calling me your brother. To all of my family and friends who are Gold Star families, this is a horrendous day for all of you, because it's the day that marks the cause for your family giving their life for our freedom. Many of you wish that today would have never happened. And yet, in honor of their service to our great nation, I'd like to have all of us rise, make the Pledge of Allegiance. And then, we don't usually do this, but let's sing the national anthem in honor of those who served in this great nation. If I start it low, I'll restart it a little higher. But I want us to start our program today this way, in honor of those who have served. If you will, render your honor by saluting and placing your hand over your heart. Let's make our pledge of allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now we'll have a moment of silence as we remember those who are missing in action, those who've paid the last full measure of devotion, who at some point in their lifetime have been in battle and they bear the scars of combat in their spirit, soul, and body. This moment of silence is in honor of every one of the families of the fallen who will stand somewhere today in honor of their loved one's life lived and service rendered. This moment of silence will last for 21 seconds in honor of the 21 rifle volleys fired at the funeral of a fallen soldier. This moment of silence begins now. And now, if you will, we'll sing the national anthem. Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming. And the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof to the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the And now, in honor of those who've served, I'd like us to pause while we play the taps. Did I just shut everything off?
I still see you. Still
here we go. Now, if you will, join me with the opening prayer. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God. Hold on. You don't see anything?
Just your name.
That's a whole new technology problem right there.
There it
comes. There.
There.
Father,
we
pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God. As ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, we, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow. With your presence and power in our lives, we receive your guidance through this time of ministry that believers' lives will be changed forever by the word of God, and glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. As we minister to the saints around the world, according to God's holy living word. Don't miss out holy living. God sees our determination to change our world. Hebrews 6:10. God will never be unjust and forget our work and labor of love which we have shown toward his name, in that we have ministered to the saints here and around the world. My life is a seed I am sowing now to bless others. Luke 6:38. I give, and I know that what I give will be given to me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, it will be put into my life. For with the same measure that I use to sow, it will be measured back to me in that same manner. Now, let's bless the nations of the world. God bless the nations of the world to hear the word of faith. We bless the believers in these nations: United States of America, Canada, Mexico, Brazil, South Africa, Niger, Nigeria, Ghana, Kenya, Tunisia, Oman, New Zealand, Australia, Malaysia, Singapore, Philippines, Japan, Vietnam, South Korea, Samoan Islands, Thailand, India, Pakistan, Iran, Iraq, United Kingdom, Ireland, Spain, Belgium, France, Portugal, Germany, Switzerland, Hungary, Finland, Netherlands, Sweden, Estonia, Serbia, Czech Republic, Ukraine, Poland, Russia, China, New Guinea, and all the nations of the world.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And now we have an hour of faith. Now, today's message is called Walking with God Like the Early Church. Walking with God Like the Early church. Sooner or later, I'm going to get here. That was a new technology situation that just happened to me. Because I put my phone up by the computer and it just made everything just absolutely change. Where did Blog Talk Radio go? There you are. Hold on just a second. Go with me to the book of Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Verses 1 through 10. Now, while you're turning there to find that, I want to read something to you. The Bible says, or our message today says, walking with God like the early church. Let's talk about the early disciples. All right? And for those of you, oh, you can't see it. Oh, yeah, I guess you can if I turn my video on. Once again, I'm reading from my book, The Rose Book of Bible Charts, Maps, and Timelines. If you haven't bought one of these books yet, you need it. You really do. And snap a picture, you know, get you a screenshot of that. They're $25. I wish I could sell it to you, but I can't, but it's all right. This is one of those very valuable items that you could have. Is Sunday with us yet?
Not yet. All right.
You see her, make sure you say it so we can sing to her. But right now, I want to tell about the disciples, the apostles. Peter, Mark served as Peter's scribe and wrote the Gospel of Mark based on Peter's testimony. Don't know if you know that. According to some stories, Peter asked to be crucified upside down. Peter was crucified during the reign of Nero in Rome. So he must have been getting close to Paul. All right. James, the son of Zebedee, he was the first bishop in Spain. Interesting thought, isn't it?
It is.
All right. James was known as standing firm in the face of persecution. John, God's love, evident with John. John wrote the book of St. John, and then he wrote Little John, 1, 2, and 3. John was released from exile on the Isle of Patmos and returned to Ephesus, which today is Turkey. John died in Ephesus around AD 100. John was boiled in oil. He was sent out on Patmos. That's where the God Almighty showed up and tried to boil the old guy, and he just didn't boil. He just didn't die. He wouldn't die. And God met him on the beach on the Lord's Day, and he gave him the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, not the computation. It was a revelation. Andrew preached in Greece, Asia Minor, and Russia. Seventh century stories suggest Andrew was crucified on an X-shaped cross by the Roman council. See, these men all died for their faith. Philip preached in Scythia, which today is the Ukraine.
Wow.
Philip was crucified on a tall cross at Hierapolis of Phrygia, which today is Turkey. Bartholomew ministered in Asia Minor and India. The Armenian church claims Bartholomew as their founder. They say about Bartholomew, he was filleted alive.
Oh, my goodness. So brutal.
Wicked people. Matthew. Matthew ministered to Persia, Macedonia, Syria, Parthia, Media, and Ethiopia. He died a martyr also. He was a tax collector when Jesus found him. Thomas, which is Didymus, also known as Doubting Thomas, traveled to India and founded the Christian church there. He was killed by a spear for his face and was buried in India. He was a carpenter. James, the son of Alphaeus. Some suggest James, the son of, belonged to the revolutionary group known as the Zealots. He was crucified in the Sinai or in Persia, stoned to death in Jerusalem. All right. Now, Thaddeus, this is a guy you and I don't hear about much. He was the son of James. He was listed as one of them. He was known as beloved or dear to the heart. It's what it, what his name meant. Thaddeus belonged to the Zealots. He authored the book of Jude. Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And he was martyred for his faith. Simon the Zealot, he was the, many believe he was the bridegroom at the wedding in Cana of Galilee.
Huh.
Yeah. He was a missionary to Persia. Judas Iscariot, he messed it all up. And rather than repenting to Jesus for what he had done, his wickedness, he repented to the people that he sinned with.
Yeah.
And you should always repent the other way. Galatians chapter 6. Hopefully you found it. And I encourage you, open up the Bible. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. If you're overtaken in a fault of sin, don't go to somebody that's got the same sin as you do. They can't get you free. You got to go to somebody who's spiritual. That means somebody that you can see the testimony of God is in their life and that they will act in faith, not just tell you, oh, put up with it and it'll, you'll be all right. Mm-hmm. Jesus will always understand. You don't want to trust a person like that. Why? Because you being all right is not God's will. God's will is total freedom from everything.
Amen.
Amen. Whom the Son sets free is bound by just a few things.
No.
See, that's not what it says. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Unless you're hanging around with a bunch of bound people, you'll be bound too. You'll talk like them, act like them, stink like them, and think like them. You who are spiritual, restore such a one. Spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Right now, we're listening to our sister Kathy on a regular basis, praying for her every day, as this is the one-year anniversary for her mom going to heaven. Glory be to God, her mom's in heaven. Glory be to God that Kathy was able to be there. Glory be to God, Kathy's been a mighty warrior of the cross ever since. In the mighty name of Jesus. And this verse says, you and I, in order to fulfill the law of Christ, we got to bear one another's burden. But it's not saying, oh, I feel sorry for you. Let's all just cry together. It's like somebody's got to be on the outside saying, no, stand up. No more of this bondage or no more fear, no more sorrow, any rest of it. God has set us free from that.
Amen.
We don't have a cold heart. And we're just not going to let no demon spirit bind any of our family or friends. You know what's frustrating to me as a pastor? When I pray and pray and pray and speak the word of God and bind the devil and bind the devil and bind the devil and bind the devil over somebody's life, and then they just say, see you later, and it don't matter. And you're like, why did I pray all of those prayers for somebody who's going to just say, don't worry about it, pastor, I'm just going to stay bound. But what's our responsibility as men and women of God who lead in the kingdom? And that's keep doing it.
Amen.
All my prayers worked. I've done the work for many, 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 many people to make it all the way to the end. Why? Because I'm going to keep speaking the word of faith over your life and your family and your money and your health and your mind and your ministry and your mouth and your marriage and everything about you until Jesus comes. That's my responsibility. Whether or not you even stick around. I mean, there was a funeral yesterday for a young man who once was in my ministry. God designed this young man to be a part of my life. 48 years old. Hopefully he's in heaven. Hopefully. Did all the prayers. Is there a whole bunch of life I don't understand why it's happened or how it's happened? Oh, yeah. But what does that have to do with you and I walking with God? So you don't understand it. I guarantee you anything in your Christian life you don't understand, there's three major things that's going on. Number one, somebody didn't understand God. Number two, somebody didn't understand themselves. And number three, somebody didn't understand the enemy and who he was and how those three things work together. You are filled with God. Therefore, you're not weak. You're strong. You are to walk with God, not be some religious nut walking around acting churchy. And you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Get it into proper order. You are the spirit. Your body is the carrier of that spirit, and your soul responds to what you, the spirit, tells it to do. Woo! I'm preaching pretty good, and I'm only in Galatians, walking with God like the early church. Verse 3, for if someone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one have his own work, then he'll have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. You've got to have some work that you're doing in God that you can rejoice in. Well, Pastor, I don't even know what it is. Number one, for most of you, that's coming right here and being a part of this. You've got to work. Every time you're here, you are doing a work by being here, helping us make this happen, helping there be somebody here saying, "Woo, amen, let's go get him, Pastor." Your prayers are helping anybody that shows up here make it every day. That's one of your works. And be faithful to it. Each one of us shall bear his own load. Verse 6, let him who is taught in the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. God will not be mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will also reap. He who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. There's a lot of people that take their tithe and spend it on themselves. Guess what you get? You don't get the windows of heaven open. You're eating God's tithe. Don't do that. You're going to reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we've sown, if we do not faint. There's a lot of people that are expecting to reap when they've never sown anything. So, what do I sow, Pastor? Time, talent, and treasure, and your word spoken in faith as the Holy Spirit leads you. Not as I lead you, as the Holy Spirit leads you. God might tell me to do something just like Wilkins Radio, but then it's up to you to listen to God. I just assume all of you sponsor 10 days every month. That's what I want you to do. I'm not your God. I'm your pastor. Can I get an amen from anybody? Roman?
Amen.
Nobody said amen there. Say amen. First, amen. Thank you, Rebecca. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I gotta quit preaching and just start reading because it's time to read the word and see what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm going to read this whole chapter, verses 1 through 24. Pay attention. Get your ears going. Not these, this one. Moreover, brethren, what do you do when you find a moreover?
Find out what it's there for.
You go over it more. You go moreover. Right? We make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. We could say that on the community of faith. That in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. This church sowed when they themselves were in an abundance of poverty. Like literally, physically, financially, poverty. For I bear witness according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing and giving. Pause for a minute. Father, in Jesus' name, we put our faith with Brother Tanvir and all the believers in Pakistan. We say, water soak into the ground. Monsoon, stop. We declare right now in Pakistan, every man and woman of God that's in that nation stands up and speaks to that weather and causes this thing to get in line and declares the ground opens up and soaks the moisture in. And that people's lives are put back together right in the middle of all the mess. In the name of Jesus, give Brother Tanvir And all of our brothers over there that are preaching the gospel, give them great courage and boldness in all that they do, because in that nation, there's more than enough resources to do everything they got to do. Make it work. In Jesus' mighty name. Verse number 3. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. They sent money to this other church. They sent money. They were in deep poverty, but they said, let's put some money together and take care of those folks over there. Watch. Somebody's like, Pastor, he's taking an offering. Nope. I'm teaching a principle. God is the one to instruct you to give an offering, not me. Sister Leanne and I every day say, Father, help us know where to give and how to give. Yeah. Every day. And we usually sow a seed pretty much almost every day somewhere. Why? Because if you sow a seed every day, then there comes a point where you start reaping a harvest every day. If you sow a seed once every month or 2 months, then that's how your harvest is going to come back to you. And you don't want that. You want seed time and harvest when the Old Testament says the sower is going to overtake the reaper and the reaper is going to overtake the sower. That's what you want. 5. Not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. We urge Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in diligence, and in your love for us, so that you abound in this grace also. So Titus went to get the money and bring the gift back to the people that needed it. And the people that were in, I'm missing my cities here, the people in Macedonia received the gift from the people that were in the other place. Must have been the Corinthians. Verse 7, look what it says. But as you abound in everything, Jesus wants you to abound in everything. I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly.
Abundantly, amen.
He wants you to be in abundant life, in faith, in your speech, in your knowledge, in your diligence, in your love for us. Verse 8, I speak not by commandment, but I'm testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. He's literally talking about money here. But he's also talking about leaving the abundance of heaven, coming to earth, learning to use his faith here on this earth to manifest what's in heaven on the earth. That's what Jesus did. Jesus looked at all the hungry people and said, who's got a seed? Somebody brought him a lunch. He blessed it, broke it, and that lunch produced food for everybody. Now, guys, he looked at the disciples and said, the second time said, you feed them. And they were all like, ah, bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada- It's a good time to say happiness and joy and peace. See, Jesus was expecting the disciples to feed that multitude, just like he did. Jesus was expecting the disciples to feed the multitude. Pastor, don't ask me to do that. No, I'm asking you to take the initial step. Begin to sow today. Those of you that show up here like this for the program, you're sowing right now your time.
Yes.
You're sowing your talent. You're sowing your faith. You're sowing your agreement. You're doing it. Let God take you to the next step. What is it? I don't know. I don't know what your next step is. Walk with him and say, Lord, what is my next step? so that I will grow and develop and be everything you want me to be every single day. Today you're going to need to serve. I'm out here walking the dog this morning, and he said, look at this field. And I'm like, can tell I haven't been walking the dog lately. Ain't nobody picked up all the garbage. So guess what I did? I started picking up the garbage. I mean, there's a construction site right there. It's got 10 houses, and there's all kinds of construction garbage that's blown across the street over into my field I usually have cleaned up. And then the farmer coach showed up in the field and took his brush hog and ran over a piece of styrofoam, and it's got styrofoam everywhere. Don't do that. See, that's just my first thing I'm doing today is like, well, I haven't been out here in a while, but that's all right. I'll pick it up. So there's a box sitting there. Isn't God something? If God tells you to clean it up, there's a box. There's a box sitting there. I just started filling the box, and then it got full, and then I got some of my arms, and then I threw it all in the dumpster. And my little field for walking the dog looks a whole lot better. What did I give? I give my time. I give my determination to keep the place clean.
Yeah.
Not going to let my area just be all messed up. I gave. I've gone to preaching, and I'm supposed to be.
Neat and in order.
God loves neat, clean, and in order. Yes, he does. Back to reading. These people are giving money. 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, Jesus had the abundance of heaven. Yet for your sake, say this with me, that's me. He became poor so that you, through his poverty, be made rich. The wise men brought Jesus so much, they had to bring an army. Because Jesus didn't have a lack of money.
No.
But it ain't about money. I don't care if you have a bank account full of money. But it won't. You can't have. You never can have so much money you don't have to use faith. Everything in God is faith. I like Brother Jesse to plan the story. Because every book he's ever written, he sowed all of the proceeds into the ministry. Get that picture. Every book he's ever written, he sowed all of the proceeds into the ministry to preach the gospel. Mm-hmm. Is it a wonder he's one of the wealthiest men you'll ever meet?
Oh, that's funny.
And God said to him, I want you to get that next level jet. And he's like, but I'm happy with the one I got. He said, no, Jesse, I need you to be able to go anywhere in the world at any time when I tell you. You know who's talking to him? God is. He had enough money to write a check for the jet right then. And God said, no, I don't want you to do that. I want you to believe me and watch me send it from people around the world who believe in you that I need them sowing a seed into your ministry so their life will be blessed. 2 or 3 years later, he bought the jet. When he could have written a check for it. I know this stretches some people. Man, you're talking about preachers and jets. Why would you have a problem with a sports figure having a jet but not a preacher?
Amen.
Why does the people on Playboy get to have a jet but the preacher don't get to have one? When the preacher can jump in the jet and go across the world somewhere and save 1,000 souls and change their lives forever and people are going to criticize and condemn it, well, that money should be spent to feed the poor. It is.
And until we teach the poor about God, they'll continue to be poor. It doesn't matter how much you give them. They will continue in the same.
You can't give a poor person out of poorness.
Yes.
You have to teach them to do something different than the poverty they live in.
Yes.
Poverty is only a sign of the absence of self-production. Anybody who's poverty, you can't give them enough money to make them not poverty anymore. You have to teach them to begin to produce. And when they produce, poverty goes away. And that's the gifts, talents, and abilities on the inside of you. It's a wonderful story, Brother Jesse. Because he had the money to write the check. But God said, no, don't write that check. Believe me. What's the principle I'm teaching this? Faith. These people in this chapter were in poverty themselves. They said, let's put some money together and sow it into the church in Macedonia. And Brother Titus, you take it to him. Now, how amazing is that? This example right here. Galatians, we just read it in Galatians. As often as you have the ability, do good to the household of faith. And that's what we're doing. Anybody know what verse we're on? Verse number 10. And in this, I give advice. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago. Wilkins Radio. We were desiring to do that a year ago. But now you must also complete the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion out of what you have. Watch this. For if there is first a willing mind, accept it according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Our willingness to do something to reach out and preach the gospel was not based on the fact that we were all millionaires. It was based on the fact that God said, go do it. And we're like, well, let's go do it.
All right.
And then when I talked to him, you got to sign a 2-year contract. Well, we got to have a little bit more money than the first week's worth of money in order to make that work, because 2 years is a long ways down the road. So that's why we've spent this time building money, getting the plan that God wants us to have, and starting the partnership program. Think about this fact, that for $29, you can preach the gospel even if you're not a preacher.
Yeah. Amen.
And anyone who finds God on that day you sponsor is going to be accredited to your account in heaven, and he who reaps receives wages. Somebody needs to see that, because they don't believe that right there. I like the Missouri people, because they're always saying, show me. Well, all right, I will. John chapter 4. Hold your place in 2 Corinthians. We're coming right back there. I got 3 minutes, but we'll get it done. John 4. Look at this. 35 and 38. John 4, 35 through 38. Do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. This is Jesus talking 2,000 years ago. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages, like actual money. Right now in North Dakota, there are working all over this whole community. There's who knows, man, there's 1 million acres worth of land here that's got wheat and flax and canola and every other thing that we've raised up here. And the combines are out there, and they're working from daylight till midnight every single day, combining while we got dryness, and they can get it off.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, they don't pay me because they're harvesting. They pay the people that's making it work. Right?
Mm-hmm.
They sow the seed. It's time for harvest. Look at what it says. Read the Bible. He who reaps receives the wages. Well, that's just straight from the Word of God. So every person we reach from Wilkins radio stations in any city, that is going to us. That's going to your account. That both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you've not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. I'm back in 2 Corinthians. I got to get these verses read today.
2 Corinthians?
2 Corinthians, chapter 8, and we're down to verse 12 now. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have. 2 Corinthians 8. Chapter 8, verse 12.
Where did you start at? What's the whole, or is that just the one verse that you're teaching?
We're going to go from 12 through 24. We're going back to finish chapter 8 like we started. I'll make it plain. I'm now going to read 2 Corinthians 8, 12 through 24. There's a willing mind. It is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but by quality that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, that their abundance also may supply your lack, and that there may be equality. Here's what he's saying. They sowed in their lack, and because they sowed, great abundance came to them. That's how this kingdom works.
Yep. Amen.
Whether you got abundance or lack, sow. Pastor, what if I all I got to sow is a dollar? Sow it, and sow it faithfully. That dollar will begin to produce 10, and that 10 will begin to produce 20, and that 20 will begin to produce 50, and that 50 will begin to produce 100, and the next thing you know, it's rolling. Just don't stop, because it's the way this whole system is set up. God said to Adam, here's the garden, I put you in it. You have seed in your body, Adam, and all of these plants have seed in them. From the beginning of this world, it is set up in seed, time, and heart. Today, there's 7.5 billion people around the world from the seed that was in Adam's loins and Eve's womb. All 7.5 billion of us were in Adam and Eve. How does that work? I know some of you are scowling and looking and wondering, but that's God's system. Verse 16, thanks be to God who puts the same earnest care for you into the heart of Titus. He not only accepted the exhortation, but being more diligent, he went to you of his own accord. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not only that, but who was also chosen by the churches to travel with us? With this gift, which is administered to us by the glory of the Lord himself, and to show your ready mind. Avoiding this, that anyone should blame us in this lavish gift, which is administered by us, providing honorable things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Do you realize Paul just said this was a lavish gift? This was a large financial gift.
He did.
Keep reading. 21, providing honorable things, not in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. 22, as we have sent with them our brother, whom we have often proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent because of the great confidence which we have in you. If anyone inquires about Titus, he's my partner, fellow worker concerning you. Or if our brethren are inquired about, they are messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ. Therefore, show to them and before the churches, the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. He's talking to the Corinthian church. Corinth was a very powerful, prosperous city, and they gave to Macedonia that was in a great, serious time of poverty. Chapter 9, verse 1, concerning the ministry to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. The Corinthian church were givers, and it has inspired the churches all over to give. Why? Corinth gave in poverty and became abundantly blessed. Because God's system is when you sow, you reap. And when you reap souls, you receive wages. Oh, thank you, Jesus, we're getting this. Verse 2. Three. Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this respect, lest if some of the Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, shame to this confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time, prepare your generous gift, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. So what I'm going to put it all in this in context. Corinth said to Paul, we got a gift for Macedonia. Wow, really? Yeah. They sent him a text. You know, donkey mail. I don't know. And so Paul said, well, all right. Now let's do it decent and in order. I'm going to come early and receive it so that you won't be ashamed and everybody will be ready, and that abundance of that will be a blessing to everybody. Watch what Paul said to those who sowed. Verse 6. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. You don't have to wonder how you're sowing. Look how you're reaping. But Pastor, I can't put $100 into something. I know. Send five. How many times have we sent $5 seeds?
Many, many, many.
We have some ministries we sow into that we had gone all the way up to $50 we were sowing them. Watch this. And then things changed after COVID. And it's like, well, I want to sow 50, but I don't have it. So you know what we did? We sowed five. And when we sowed five again, and we sowed five again, and guess what? We're back up to 20. Why? Because that seed has to produce after its own kind. Well, Pastor, what happened in all that? Man, that whole mess with COVID, everybody's submitting to that stupid demon. That just messed up a whole mess, a bunch of stuff up. Well, whatever. It can't stop you and me. Watch Paul. He who sows bountifully, your bountiful might be $5 bill. That might be an abundant seed to you, but that's okay. Just make sure you sow it and don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed. Why? Because the farmer that plants one tomato plant is going to reap this many plants. And if next year he stretches his faith and he gets to plant two. What?
And think of the price of a kernel of corn that he puts in the ground knowing he's going to get harvest out of it. And then how much does he wind up reaping back even financially besides food-wise out of the price of one kernel
of corn? One kernel of corn produces a whole stalk.
Yeah.
With two or three ears.
It costs maybe a half a cent.
And 800 to 1,500 kernels on an ear.
Yeah.
That one friend of mine is a dairy farmer. Like, I don't expect anything less than 100-fold return on my seed. Yeah. Corn. I'm going to plant 1,000 bushel for the whole field, but I'm going to expect 125 bushel per acre.
Acre.
Per acre. And that's there. And if you go 70 miles south of where he was talking, they're getting 225 bushel an acre. More daylight, more heat, better soil.
We need to remember that with our indoor greenhouse.
Now watch this. I'm way past my hour, but I'm going to teach this message no matter what. Watch this. The whole earth started in a garden. To think that God's going to do anything else besides that garden, seed time and harvest, is to forget that God doesn't change. He doesn't change. Everything in the kingdom is seed time and harvest. I am sowing a seed of his word into your life right now, and I thoroughly expect it to bring a harvest. And I speak it to bring a harvest in your life. You're sowing a seed of your time and your presence and your faith and your prayers, and I receive it right now, and I speak the 100-fold return to come back into your life. God's been showing you to sow a seed. Sow it. Just sow it. Let go of it, even if it's just a $5 bill. Pastor, how do I do that? Cash App, PayPal, Venmo, Square, all kinds of ways to give. Snail mail. Send a check. Why? Because a $5 seed that is continual will begin to produce a $20 harvest and a $50 harvest. Don't stop, because once that five hits a 20, then sow that 20. Why? Because that 20 is going to produce a 50, and that 50 is going to produce a 100. And the next thing you know, you've sowed your way right out of poverty, and you're standing there going, would you look at what's going on here? Look at what God's doing. Children are showing up for church. How am I ever going to get this all done? Where's Roger? 4 more hours. Here we go. I'm in 2 Corinthians 9:6. He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Let each one give as he purchases in his heart. That's between you and God. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Don't just do it because you need it, but do it because you need it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Not really, but it's good. I know we sow because we love God. Free will offering. We give it willingly. But there's nothing wrong with looking at it saying, I need this big a harvest in my life. I want this. I'm going to sow this much seed. Now, Father in heaven, give me wisdom of where to put it in the right spot. When Brother Cal told me that about the, he said, this is so powerful. I asked him right in church one time, put him on the spot. And Cal was quiet, man. I'm like, so if I buy a bag of McCormick seed, and I plant half of it in Saginaw County and half of it in Ogemaw County. The half in Saginaw will produce 225, and that which is in Ogemaw County will hope for 165 bushels an acre. He goes, yep. Same bag of seed. And I said, why? Quality of the soil.
Better ground. Yeah.
The amount of daylight. The amount of moisture and the care. Cal's land was very rocky because of the location. So he had to put a lot of effort in to getting all the rocks out. That topsoil in the valley at Saginaw, that topsoil is a foot thick down there. You know what that means? Rich. Put a seed in there and that stuff's going to grow. Well, it's no different in the kingdom. What's the soil? It's the condition of your heart. What's the soil you're sowing into? This soil. We are preaching the gospel and reaching 46 nations of the world. Actually, maybe 50 by now. It's a good soil. Get your seed in it. Well, Pastor, how much do I sow? $1 million. Do you know what to do with $1 million? I got a serious plan for $1 million. I got a serious plan for about $20 million. You don't either. Yeah, I do. I just don't put it out in front of people that's going to stomp on it. I just keep speaking it. What do I want you to sow? I want you to sow financially what he tells you to sow. He's not telling me to sow anything. That's because you ain't asking. Because he'll tell you to sow. We've been saying it. Where do we sow? Where's the next place to sow? And it sounds so amazing. I've been with Dr. Barclay for 30 years. I started out as a partner plus, which was $12 a month. I did that in 95. And, or not partner plus, one of the 12. And that was $12 a month. And I sowed that faithfully. And I'm like, well, all right, that's cool. But I'm going to be a partners plus, which was $50 a month. And for some reason, I quit sowing the 12 and started sowing the 50. As if you can't sow to both. Sitting here on the couch this morning when Dr. Barclay's church came live and it was offering time, we're doing our offering, sowing the seed for the ministry, sowing our own seed, paying our tithe, paying the ministry tithe. And it's kidding. Well, there ain't no reason not to be a partner for both of them.
Right.
And I'm like, you know, here I am 30 years later just really getting the revelation. Why is it now taking me this long? Well, it doesn't matter why, but here's the reality. You and I get to sow wherever we want to. And God's going to bless him. God is going to bless him. And I'm excited about it. I'm so excited about that. I'm like, You know, the More Than Conqueror picture, which is a man coming back from war saying, "Whoa, look at what we conquered." That's me. I'm like, you know what? I just crossed a major border. I'm going to sell $12 more a month in my passport. Wait, not because $12 is going to change his life. Because God told my pastor to start a partnership program. And I should be a part of all of his partnership programs. Why? Just so that I'm a part of what he's doing.
Amen.
Somebody ought to shout a big amen. It's so good to hear your voice, Kathy. Rebecca, we didn't hear you yet. Say something.
I'm trying to speak, but somebody else is talking so much.
Wait, what in the world? Who would ever talk that much?
I can't get a word in edgeways.
That's how I feel with you women sometimes.
Good. Now you know what it feels like.
Now,
Lord.
Let's keep reading. I'm in verse number 8. This is like one of my favorite verses on this part of this page. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. How much grace?
All
grace. Do you know how much all grace is with our all God? That is huge. God's able to make all grace abound toward you. Now, watch what he says is going to happen. That you, point your finger right at yourself and say, yeah, I'm talking to you. That you, always having all sufficiency in all things, have an abundance for every good work. I know. I heard somebody say it. It ain't happened in my life, Pastor. But that's what God's wanting to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as soon as you start sowing, change the words from God is able to God is making. See, 8 is dependent on your beginning to sow. As soon as you sow, you don't have to say God is able. You say, I'm sowing, so God is making all grace abound. Listen to this. Every one of you who come here regularly and you give up your time and your talent and your faith and your prayers, you can begin to say, God is making all grace abound toward me right now.
Amen.
Say it.
God is making all grace abound toward me. Okay, your turn.
I'm trying to get that. There you go. Look at my eyes.
Oh.
I saw that. I'm like, hey, check that out. I got some cool looking eyes. That's just my light right there. Here's the revelation. Here's this revelation. Paul is saying to this early church, this is to Corinth, you said you were going to put a seed over there. I'm going to send you somebody and let's get it done. Why? Because Paul knows that if they'll sow that seed, they're going to reap. And it will break the power of any poverty situation. It'll break the power of it. And what you got to do, you got to just keep sowing. You know, this is interesting. Ready for this? It's another example of my great seed I sow. I'm going to brag on my seed. You ready? I'm not bragging. I'm just giving you an example of how I do it. We were going to Michigan or somewhere where last time we were on the road. And I'm in a Loves, and I find a hat, a ball cap that I like. And so I'm standing there. The line's moving forward, and I'm up, and I'm at the counter. And this lady at this till right next to me, Loves as their till side by side, She says, I'm going to buy that guy's hat for him. I turned to look at her, and I said, well, thank you, ma'am. She said, I believe in sowing seed. I'm like, so do I. I'll reap this harvest from you right now. I'm the guy that's always giving. But it doesn't matter to me. I'm not giving so that I'll receive. I'm going to give because the Holy Spirit just said to me to give. So she bought my hat. The other day, I stopped at the safety store because you got to be safe. They require you to be safe because if things go wrong here, they go really wrong. And you don't like it. And it's a mess. And so I'm in the safety store and I'm buying some gloves and looking at clothes and doing what I got to do, you know. And there's a hat there. Will you get my hat? The water truck one. There's a hat there. And out here in the oil field, everything's about the rig, the drilling rig, and the service rig. But look at this. Found me a North Dakota hat, and it's got a water truck on it. How cool is that?
Awesome. I love it.
So I'm like, well, I'm buying that. And just like that, the Holy Spirit said, buy one for Shelton. I thought, well, will he even receive it? Well, it doesn't matter. If God said buy it, it don't matter whether they're going to receive it or not. So I bought a second hat. What's cool about it is this hat, beautiful hat, that is a wonderful hat. Not beautiful, it's manly. It was only $10. They're usually $20. So I bought him a hat. Why? Because the Holy Spirit told me to. Now I got my hair all messed up. You see, that lady bought that hat for me. So now I didn't even know if he'd receive it. You know, in the man's world, man buying a gift for a man, that's not like a woman buying a gift for a woman. It can be taken the wrong way. All right. So I saw him the other day. I'm like, hey, dude, you wear a ball cap? He goes, I don't know. Yeah, sometimes. Well, I took it to him. I'm like, I saw this the other day, and it's actually got a water truck on it. He goes, well, how cool is that? I'm like, here, I bought it for you. He's like, really? Learning to hear the voice of the Father on the inside of you saying, do this for that person. And as you continually stack that, it bothers me when God doesn't ask me to give. If I go a period of time and God's not said, why don't you do this for that person? I'm like, hey, wait, what is wrong with me? What's going on inside of me that you've not asked me to give to somebody lately? Because God knows what you need in your future, and he knows that your need needs a seed. He knows what you need on December 25th, so he's going to ask you to sow a seed today. And he knows what you need on March 5th next year, and he's going to ask you to sow a seed today. Why? Because now that harvest is continually working. People... I heard Dr. Barclay say this one time. People wonder, they say, Pastor, my seed doesn't produce like yours. And he said, well, check two things. Often you're sowing, and check how much you're sowing. Now listen to this. I'm not saying his exact words. I'm putting it in mine. If you only sow once a week, you can only expect to reap once a week. If you sow regularly, your time, your talent, your treasure, your word spoken in faith, you're going to begin to reap it regularly. Then he said this, if you're only sowing a dollar, you're only going to see a hundredfold return on a dollar. But he said, if you sow 10, you're now going to see 10 times that hundredfold return. Now listen. This is where the church messes it up today. Everybody says, well, that means I got to sow a $100 seed. No, it's the percentage of your life you're sowing.
Yeah.
I know millionaires can't break a $100 bill off for God. And I know common folks like you and me that give a $100 bill in a quick hurry.
Mm-hmm.
That millionaire gave God a buck. You and I gave him a major portion. Your $5 seed might be 15% of your life. So if you sow a $5 seed and it's 15% of your life, that's like the millionaire
mm-hmm.
sowing $1,500. Get the perspective right so you lose the fear of sowing and you don't have any condemnation in your seed.
Yeah.
Because the most important thing is that you begin to sow. Now, I'm going to say it again to all of our community of faith people. You have already sown life-changing, world-changing seed right here. It may not all be financial. You come here with your time, your talent, your words spoken in faith, your prayer, and your presence, and you've done it faithfully for 2 years. That is a seed that is rocking heaven and is rocking eternity right now and is transforming people's lives that you cannot see. Don't stop. I see people and they come face to face with themselves and they got to start changing themselves and they go away because they're afraid to change themselves. Or they're lazy and they don't want to change themselves and they don't want to deal with the fact that they're lazy. Stop being lazy and be a producer. Look yourself in the mirror and say, you get your act together. All right, bless you, Kathy. We love you. When you get in the car, we'll take communion, so take your grape juice and bread with you. Just don't spill it.
Bye-bye, Kathy. Bye.
We love you. It's so good to hear your voice.
Love you, guys.
Glad to have you with us, too, man.
Love you, too. Happy birthday. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah.
That's funny. Okay. That's
the ball. I don't know. I just got to get a celebration point for some reason. But now, I really got, this is the point of this morning's message. This is how the early church did it. But you know what's cool about my message? At the end of it, I'm not taking an offering. It's right to give. We had God say to us the other day, well, probably 6 months ago now, that as we're listening to the YouTube preachers, make sure we see those preachers. Because if we're receiving spiritual life, then we should sow into that. Now, we're not telling you how much we sow. And we're not going to tell you who we're sowing to. Because our seed belongs to us. Quit being so nosy. What's the point of it? God knows what you need there. And he spoke to you about a seed there. And had you sown that seed there, you'd be reaping the harvest here so that you're ready for that out there. And God will not be mocked. You sow a seed, you will reap a harvest. I'm back in verse 8. And God is making all grace abound that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, have an exceeding abundance unto every good work. Think about it. There's 7.5 billion people on this earth today. And every person between the last one born this second and Cain and Abel, all of those people who ever lived on this earth were in Adam and Eve's body. All of those people were in Adam's sperm and Eve's egg. And they come together. And how in the world can 7.5 billion people be in one man's loins? Except that our God is serious about seed time and harvest. And if you can see it in the natural, then you can see it in the supernatural. How did you get here? Seed time and harvest. That's how you got here. how this whole kingdom works. God is making, as soon as you start sowing, and all of you are sowers, God is making all grace abound. And you will always have all sufficiency in all things and abound to every good work. Well, Pastor, what about when it's just not happening after I've already sowed? Then that means you got an enemy. And you start demanding seven times and double for the shame because he's opposing you. And that happens. God Almighty gets involved. And he starts breaking that thing. And the more the enemy fights, the more you just stand and say, you can't stop my seed. It's already in the ground. I mean, you've been a tither for 50 years. Tell him. You can't stop my tithe, my seed. Look at it. It's already in the ground. What do? You crush that enemy's head with what this word teaches. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, you realize I got three more sets of verses I'm supposed to read yet today. If I let you read them, you don't stop and preach. Verse 10, he who supplies seed to the sower, he who supplies seed to you, the sower, and bread for your food, so you not only got seed, you got bread. He will supply and multiply the seed you've sown. He's going to give you the seed and then multiply it. And then he's going to increase the fruits of your righteousness. And you can't go wrong with believing in God.
Amen.
Look at what he's done with you and me right here. Here we are today. I was keeping track of the days for a while. Who knows where we're at? Probably about 1,200. We're 2.5 years later, so 1,200, 900, 1,000. Who knows? That many days later, here we are doing the work that he's given us to do, and we're changing this world in Jesus' mighty name. Ready? Let's pray. To read the rest of these verses because I had trouble.
Can you tell me what the last set of Corinthians verses were in chapter 9?
2 Corinthians chapter 8, or chapter 9, verses 8, 9, and 10, and 8 through 11. Okay. You know, I'm just hearing the Holy Spirit. I got to just read the rest of them. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God, while through the proof of this ministry, sowing the seed, they glorify God for the obedience of our confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing. Can you imagine that your $5 seed is liberal sharing? But it is. Your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you, for us, who long for us because of the exceeding grace of God in us. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Where is it? In us. I did. I'm done. I'm not done, but it's all we got. I may have to turn the mic on when we get on the road and just preach all afternoon while we're driving down the road.
All right.
But until then, my heart will go on singing. Ready? Let's pray. Father, your word is so alive and so well and so strong and so powerful. We receive it in our lives, right here, right now, today. May every person who turns this message on, back it up and listen to it again. Back it up and listen to it again. And may we see you in all of your goodness. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Somebody shout a big amen.
Amen.
Amen
or left.
Our amen or left. No, that's all right. Sister Sunday make it yet? No. Birthday time. All right. Well, Sunday, we're going to call you on the phone and sing happy birthday to you then.
Mm-hmm. She did write a message on the Facebook page. Thank you, dearest family of God. I love you all so much.
That's awesome. We love you, Cindy. Well, it's time for communion. So we have an hour of faith and then communion. Mary Pasterick.
With us on Zoom.
Hi, Mary.
And Tracy from West Branch.
Hey, Tracy Grant. Dave and Tracy Grant. Dave, bless you, brother. Love you. You too, Tracy, but when I see you, I want to make sure I always speak to Dave because I know he's there too. And I bless you guys and your family in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Mary, for the donation. And I did see it pop up. I didn't see who it was, but thank you. It's all going into the radio. Think about what you just did.
Affecting millions here.
There's no way of ever knowing. One real small testimony.
Sure.
I was on the TV at TCT in Saginaw. And I was talking to a guy about radio, and he had mentioned on the program that he was on radio for years. And afterward, I'm like, hey, talk to me about radio. He goes, I love it. It's great. I'm like, what's your experience? He goes, I was on the radio for 11 years and never had one person ever communicate to me. I'm like, seriously? He goes, he said, I finally just told God, well, ain't nobody talking to me. I'm going to just quit doing this. He said that the week he stopped doing the radio program, because it just didn't seem like it was helping anybody, the week he stopped doing the radio and was no longer on, he got hundreds of letters from people saying, hey, where'd you go?
Who was listening to that?
Okay. So if you're listening on the radio, send us a letter. Now, I ain't never going to stop doing what God given me to do. When we know who you are and where you are, it truly helps us. I'm not standing here with my hand out saying, give me, my name's Jimmy. Were you going to get to heaven and have God kick you back to hell because you decided to take people's money through manipulation and control? No, I'm not doing that. Ask you to sow a seed? This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you that opportunity. And then you, between you and God, decide where that seed is to be sown. Instructs you to sow to us. Man, do it. Because it is a blessing. And we're preaching the gospel. You ready? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. My goodness sakes alive, what a day. And for anybody with a boring week in front of you, come to Chicago. It's the Faith Conference at Dr. Winston's Church. Don't know where to tell you to stay, but somewhere in the greater Chicago area, you can probably find a room for less than $700 a night. Go to Airbnb. There's always a little room somewhere with a bed and a shower. And this conference is an amazing conference. Or just drive down for a day and come back. Because your life will be blessed. Tonight is Tudor Bismarck. I don't know who's up tomorrow night. Probably Brother Jesse. And then T.D. Jakes and Leroy Thompson. Samuel Rodriguez is usually Wednesday night. And Dr. Winston is going to have a healing service on Friday night, which will be an amazing time. We'll give you the links all week long. So those of you that can't make it, you'll be able to stream it live, but I encourage you, if you got any fight in you, man, get in your car and fight that traffic in Chicago. No, you got to put your boxing gloves on because you're fighting the traffic, but it's a great conference to fill you with and the spirit of faith. Just to see that building that Dr. Winston is in will build your faith.
Mm-hmm.
Because the people in that community made laws saying you don't get this building because you're a black man. And he looked at the lady and said, who you calling black? I'm a man of God. That doesn't have color. And today, you remember what the last figure was? I think he employs like,
yeah, I don't remember,
125 people or 150 people in that same building. Maybe it was 250, but anyways, amazing what God has done through that ministry. And thank God for his marvelous work in Jesus' name. For, we're going to do communion now. Now, we always do communion every time we come together. This is our process. I'm going to read the communion verses. When we get finished, we're going to pray the prayer of salvation. That's you and I examining ourselves. Then I'll give you, once we pray the prayer, I'll give you 2 minutes of instruction, tell you how to get connected with us. We'll bless the elements, receive them together. That's God's assignment for me. May not be how you do it, your church does it, but I can guarantee you how they do it in Moscow and how they do it in Singapore. It's two different ways of communion. It's just God manifesting himself abundantly in both of those ways. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he had given thanks, he blessed it. He broke it and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. 25. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. His redemptive work, all of it. Verse 28, let a man examine himself. That's the whole process. Examine yourself. And then let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if we would judge ourselves, it doesn't matter what anybody else's judgment is. Verse 31, or if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Love, God's perfect love is manifest in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. What's that mean? You've already judged yourself. So it doesn't matter what anybody else's judgment is. You're bold. Why? Because you're living in his love. That as he is right here, right now, today, on the throne, so are we in this world. He's the head. You might be the bottom of the skin on his foot. You're still stomping the devil's head. Because you're his body. Verse number 18. Love has no fear. And it triumphs over the fear and the trauma that comes with life. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Trauma, I bind your power in every one of these people's lives. No matter what kind of trauma it is, no matter where it came from, your power is broken and they're free to receive from the things of God. Jesus, mighty name. You ready? There's a reason I don't read the verse and take the bread and drink the cup right while we're doing it. Because you got to know God.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of churches that doesn't ever make this a time to win souls. But they hand you a cup of grape juice and a piece of bread. Pray the prayer of salvation first. Then lead them into it. Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every
day. And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in
you. You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting
and
life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
Now here's your declaration. Say it boldly. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Put your hands out and just say it. I receive you into my life right now.
I receive you into my life right now.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your
all mercy. Of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your
filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With all of you.
With all of you.
I like that. Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word.
Understand.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly
and
language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful
as
life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
High five. Welcome to the kingdom of God. You might be like, Pastor, something's going on the inside. Yeah, it is. God Almighty just filled your being. But I didn't confess all my sins. How are you ever going to confess all your sins that you've ever committed?
Too numerous.
That's not what God required. He said, receive Jesus. To as many as believe in him, to them he gives eternal life. Just believe. What did you just receive? All of his love, mercy, grace, and righteousness by the prayer that I led you into because I understand the kingdom and I led you into the prayer you need to pray. Jesus, the light of the world, just came in. Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith, just came in. That means faith is on the inside of you now. It's trying to get out. And light just filled your being. In that 2-minute prayer, God adopted you into the family. You're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. That all just happened right now when you prayed that prayer. That's why on the inside of you, you're like, woo! Because that's what's going on. Now, get this. God is no longer a being in the sky somewhere that you hope he listens and hears you. He now lives within you. Leading you from the inside out. The Holy Spirit is in here, healing you from the inside out. You don't need me to lay my hand on you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. Woo! Glory be to God. Just saw a really amazing picture of all of our YouTube videos. Remind me to tell you about it afterwards because there's too much of it to say right now while I'm talking to these guys. And we'll have to let you know later. What do I do now, Pastor? Walk with God every day. When you wake up in the morning and you're looking up at that ceiling, before you get out of bed, just say, Father, help me walk with you today. He's in you. You may not hear him at the beginning, but you'll begin to hear his voice, and he'll lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Quit making it some weird religious thing. Just walk with God. He will lead you out of wickedness into righteousness. In Jesus' mighty name. Ready?
Mighty name.
Get your elements. Yeah, you just got born again. Get you some bread. Get you some grape juice or water, whatever you got. And let's receive these communion elements together. Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord.
The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying in my body.
Every joint supplying in my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
Wait, And all of our brothers and sisters all over the world, wherever you are.
Amen. And all of our brothers and sisters all over the world.
In
Jesus'
mighty
name.
Let's receive his body broken. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. For who you are. And what you are. And how you are. In our lives, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. And amen. And now we lift up a cup of blessing. Pray this with me. My prayer, I'm just fired up. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation with you, my Father.
I have reconciliation with you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
In my life forever.
In my life forever.
By the blood of Jesus, I am a new creation.
By the blood of Jesus, I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away and all things have become new.
Old things have passed away and all things have
and
become
I
new.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly.
I come boldly.
To the throne room of grace.
To the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace. Mercy and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment.
For my assignment.
On this earth every day.
On this earth every day.
By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass over.
By the blood of Jesus, every plague
and
has
cannot
to pass over.
Be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or my family.
By the blood of Jesus, the accuser of the brethren is cast down.
By the blood of Jesus, the accuser of the brethren.
And he has no more condemnation in my life.
And he has no more condemnation in my life.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
It is. My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church without spot or wrinkle.
The glorious church without spot.
And not a single blemish when he comes for me.
Or any other blemish.
Not a single blemish when he comes for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive bloodshed. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to sing it again. I'm getting better at it. The only way to get confident is to begin to say it, sing it. It's a song from Crystal Gale, Charity Gale. If you've not heard it, it's called Thank You, Jesus, for the Blood. Ready? I was a wretch. I remember who I was. Is that right? I was lost. I was blind. I was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. From the far side of the chasm, held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven throne. To build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owed. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus. It has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light. There is nothing stronger, than the wonder-working power of the blood. The blood, it calls us sons and daughters. We are ransomed by our Father through the blood, the blood. There is nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood, the blood that calls us sons and daughters. We are ransomed by the Father through the blood, the blood. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light. Isn't that an awesome
love
song?
That song?
If
love
you've not
that
heard
song.
It, go to YouTube and search up Charity Gale. Matter of fact, Charity Gale has 30 minutes of about 6 songs, maybe 7, that are about the blood and about Jesus, and they're all in one video. And it is a powerful set of videos to start any day, or if you're having a day where you're getting fiery darts all day long, put that on and just sing it at the top of your lungs.
Yeah, amen.
Because it speaks of the blood and the name. The 3 most powerful weapons in the whole world are not a Tomahawk cruise missile, not an A-10, not a F-15. It's the word, the name, and the blood coming off the lips of a man or woman of God, the most powerful weapons in the whole world.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. Well, this was 1 hour of faith plus some talking and preaching and communion, and we're almost at 2 hours of faith. Thank you for being with us. If you think about us in the next day, we're going to be driving to Chicago tonight. So we covet your prayers. And then we'll be in the faith conference all week and just conquering and doing what God's given us to do in Jesus' mighty name. Till we see you again, this is what we say. Remember this. I might preach all afternoon.
We love you.
And God loves you. And
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. Amen. Bless you, Tracy. Bless you, Sunday. Bless you, Mary. Bless all y'all I can't see over there on YouTube. We call you blessed in Jesus' mighty name. See you soon. Blog Talk Radio, it's good to have you with us today. All over the world, send me a picture. P.O. Box 4315. Well, forgetting our P.O. Box, 4315 Williston, North Dakota, 58802, or send it to me on hgpreacherman@gmail.com, and I'll get it right away. We're building us a partner board. You might say, well, Pastor, I'm not really partnered with you yet. If you got faith and you're speaking faith, you're my partner. That's the greatest thing anybody can partner with is a faith. And we welcome you in Jesus' mighty name. Till we see you again, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Amen.
And